It doesn't necessarily have to be as black and white as, hey, listen, yep, I need you in my real estate business. We're 50-50 partners. It doesn't have to be that aggressive. It can start off with something really simple. Let's just dip a toe in this thing. Can you just be another set of eyes? Can you be another set of ears for me? Because you know me, I get excited about everything. No. Okay, yeah, I can come to that. And that's all the buy-in you need. And then let the people from stage take care of it from there.
What's up, y'all? You're listening to the Carrot Cast podcast, the podcast with a funny name but a big mission. We help thousands of real estate investors and agents grow rock-solid mindsets, do better marketing so that you can build a business of freedom and impact. I'm your host, Trevor Mock. Let's dive into today's episode. What's up, guys and gals? Guys, we've got a special episode for you guys today. We've got two-time Carrot Campers coming at you. We'll introduce you guys to Adam and Amanda New here in a second. But also, we want to take a little bit of a different approach with this episode. So we know a lot of you all might be working with your spouse, or maybe you're not working with your spouse in your real estate business as an investor or as an agent. We're going to dive in to see how they do it together. You know, how they share their workload, how that work-life dynamic is. Where do you hang up the work talk and where do you not? And it's been so impressed with the way that they've grown as Carrot customers, but also entrepreneurs the past couple of years. And I think it's just going to be amazing for you guys in general to hear how they have grown a business from zero to, you know, about $500,000 a year in a really quick amount of time. And they built up some units that they are starting to manage as well. And now we talked about what's the next step. You move it into that seven-figure mark and a bigger portfolio. So we're gonna span the entire story, guys, with this amazing couple here. But before we do, I want to bring on Mr. Brady Winder. So Brady Winder, guys, you guys have heard his voice a lot. You hear at Carrot, whether it's on the Behind the Deals or other episodes as well. And you're gonna hear his voice a lot more moving forward too. Brady's stepping into co-hosting Carrot Cast with me, and you'll also see him co-host, or you'll see him host episodes as well, because he's probably a better interviewer than I am. And so I'm pumped to have you on here, buddy, and thanks for hopping on and diving into this challenge too, man, because I know it's not a completely new challenge for you, but I'm pumped that you're stepping up to step in to be more of a voice in the Carrot Cast.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate the intro and the handoff. You know, it's been a blast. You've been running the Carrot Cast for, what, about 4 years now.
Yep.
It's been really awesome to get to work with all these guests and get to hear all these amazing stories and just kind of be behind the scenes. It's been a lot of fun of, you know, just getting to meet people. And I just love asking questions, man. Just love asking questions and telling stories. The more I get to do that, it's going to be a blast.
I love it. Yeah. So guys, we're going to introduce Adam and Amanda here in a second, but let me kind of set the stage for y'all. Okay. So I had a chance to first meet them. I think it was a couple of years ago, year and a half ago, at their first Carrot Camp that they came to. And they were in their first year of business at that time, working with Adrian on a lot of things that got some good momentum. But then, guys, at the end of the day, they came back for the second. Those are my favorite ones. It's like when people return back for their second or third or fourth or fifth Carrot Camp, where we can see the transformation that happens in between there. And we saw a lot of amazing things happen when they presented this time around. And that's why we wanted to bring them on. It's not just the success they had in the first year, but also how they've transitioned to having a bigger vision for year two, year three, year four, as a married couple running the business together. So without further ado, Adam and Amanda, welcome to the Carrot Cast, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
For sure. So Brady, I'm going to toss it over to you to kind of kick us off with some of the basic questions and some things just to kind of get to know Adam and Amanda here. But before I do, Adam and Amanda, why don't you guys let us know where, you know, a little bit about your business. Who are you? Where do you do business? Kind of what does your current business look like, Brady? Then I'll toss it over to you, man. You can kind of dig in and get to know them a little bit better. We'll dive into their journey.
So we are Adam and Amanda New. We are based out of Richmond, Virginia. So we have been in full-time investors since September of 2020. So peak COVID, decided great time to start a business, which is, you know, what everyone decided at that point, right? Yeah. So we are primarily wholesalers, but that model has shifted over the past 12 months where we are absolutely still primarily wholesaling, but we are now, we've gotten the opportunity and the pleasure to start kind of picking the ones we want to keep for ourselves and start growing a rental portfolio. So in the back half of 2021, so 2021 was our first full year, we were able to acquire 7 rental properties in the back half. Some are short-term rentals, some are long-term rentals, and continue to wholesale along the way.
So I want to know, I'm curious, you guys, what was your background before getting into real estate?
Corporate banking. So we sold credit card processing for a local bank here in Richmond. He managed the sales team for the state of Virginia. I had I managed the partnership the bank had with his sales team for the Mid-Atlantic. So we were in corporate jobs, traveling a lot. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was something.
it was very day-to-day, hour-by-hour, minute-by-minute. It was a very short sales cycle. So it was incredibly difficult to maintain that over the long term. I think they said the average lifespan of somebody that did what we did is like 9 months, and we had done it for like close to a decade.
Oh, wow. Is that where you guys met? Did you guys meet in that line of work? No.
So the ironic part about us ended up working together was I started working for the company, and my boss at the time said, I love your energy. I love everything about you. If I could clone you, that would be fantastic. So if you know anybody that thinks like you, acts like you, whatever, let me know. And I just kind of sarcastically said, like, well, you're more than welcome to hire my wife. And she just said, you think we could get her on the phone?
Really?
And then that was it.
Yeah.
So she didn't have to go through any formal interview process and everything. So it's like in minutes, like I literally like was texting her in the meantime saying like, hey, real quick, you're going to get a phone call in a couple of minutes. Like, I need you to put on your interview voice.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. That's funny. Yeah. I thought you were going to say that's when you quit. That's when you gave your notice.
Exactly. Yeah.
So maybe we can talk about this later in the conversation, but it's funny. You guys come from managing big sales teams, but for the most part, this is Adam and Amanda New is the operation, right?
That's correct.
Yep.
That's interesting. So did you guys plan to do this like as a couple? So like walk me through that when you were getting ready to like, what was it like right before you left your full-time job? Was that just one of you? Was it like, hey, let's just drop everything, go start this thing in the middle of 2020?
Well, there's what the plan was and then what actually happened.
There you go.
Which are two very different things.
So, always, yeah.
We had always planned on this being something we did together. We have worked together in some capacity our entire married life, which is 9 years as of while we were at Carrot Camp. So we knew there was no option to, you know, do things separately. So we stood up the business really quickly with a lot of coaching and help and mentorship over the summer of 2020. And then, we had two houses under contract, intending to wholesale. We said, okay, that sounds good. That's good enough. Just out on faith, man. So I quit my job and he was supposed to quit like 6 weeks later. And then his boss was like, hey, if you just want to go now, that'd probably be a good thing.
Actual conversation was much sweeter than that. So, and I think that, and I think the, so there's this moment where one of you says, you know, I was able to accomplish this much in a very short amount of time of the week. If I had all the time in the world, we could get that much done. Right.
Yeah.
And I ask people this all the time that are like, oh, I should do this with my wife. I'm like, okay, do you believe in your wife? And they're like, well, or your husband, it doesn't matter, right? And they're like, yeah, for the most part. And I was like, okay, prove it. So allow them to go, challenge them, allow them to go out, to make mistakes, to do it right. Because you never know what direction this thing's going to head in. But if you truly do believe in your partner, then it's time for you to prove it. If you get to one of those conversations, should we, shouldn't we? If the money's, you know, money and all that other stuff are entirely different conversations. Yeah. The first question you have to answer is like, do I have faith that this person can accomplish what we're here to accomplish?
Dude, that's so good, man, because there's probably so many people listening to this podcast that might have spouses that aren't supporting them. You know, or family members that aren't supporting them. It might not be a spouse, it could be a parent or a brother or a sister or whatever it is. And for those of you guys listening to this right now that might be thinking that, oh my gosh, these people that I care about are not supporting me in that leap. That what Adam had said, that's so good because it really does make us think, oh, how much do I actually care for this person? How much do I truly trust this person? how much do I truly, you know, want to encourage this person to go out there and do amazing stuff? So it goes down to the trust part of it, which is awesome, guys. Lock that in. And I want everyone thinking about not what other people need to change. Like, don't think, oh my gosh, my spouse needs to change and trust me more. Ask, what do you need to do in order to earn that trust more effectively? And so ask what you can do. Don't put the blame on the other person. And then that will hopefully then, for the right people, shift the way that they think about you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm.
Yeah, so it was super sweet to be able to actually have this conversation. I think we're both sitting on the floor of her office, and it just came down to the fact that I looked at her and said, I believe in you. That's it. Mm. So like, go and do what you need to do. Well, and then ironically, a couple of months later, the opportunity presented itself, and it made it really convenient for her to look at me and say the exact same thing. And I'm telling you, there is no sweeter moment than a marriage than when two people look at each other and say, I believe in you. Mm. So
how long did it get take for you guys to get that first deal? So it sounds like you had a couple wholesales under contract. How long did it take you to get the first one?
So
a while.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, okay. So it goes back to what depends on your definition of when we started. We had attempted to start in 2019, had actually bought a course, had started kind of thinking through it, went to Max Maxwell's event in Dallas, where we got to meet you, Trevor, there.
Yep.
And we were Carrot customers, you know, way back then. But the minor detail was that I was pregnant. And not just a little pregnant, I was a lot pregnant. So we had like started doing mail, and it kind of was like somewhat working, not really. But at a certain point, we're like, okay, like there's a kid that's about to arrive. We need to like deal with that. Yeah. So we kind of pumped the brakes, came back around to it in 2020. So basically really started actively marketing June of 2020, got our first deals under contract August of 2020, and they closed early October of 2020.
So what was the original marketing for that worked to get that deal done?
All mail initially.
Perfect.
How much? Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, you're good, dude. Go for it.
Oh, how much time were you guys spending? Like, what was it? I'm curious, in the early days, like even right before you left your job or right after you started, what did your time investment look like? Like you mentioned, Adam, you were trying to do it with this much time, just a little bit. What were you doing those wee hours? Because there's a lot of people who are just grinding. You know, they're doing their 9 to 5. They come home, they grind for a couple hours. What are you doing in those few hours?
Yeah. I would say we've always kind of built the business around like structuring as few working hours as possible. So I wouldn't really say that we worked a whole lot. We just spent a lot of money. Obviously, like you kind of end up in one camp, right? You're either, it's all an investment of time and you're using that to grind, or you're investing money. We just came from a position where our W-2s paid so much and we'd had so much saved up that we were like, let's just skip the cold calling phase. Let's skip the, and just go straight into direct marketing.
Yeah. Yep.
So, but we did do that whole summer. Like we would do the, you're online on Skype or Teams. You would like wiggle the mouse, run out the door. So you had like the most amount of time possible before you were away. Go look at a house, run back, wiggle the mouse really fast. Yeah. We were here the whole time. It's fine. It's fine, guys. So we did a lot of that. We did a lot of, so we now have a 2.5-year-old. So at the time she was about a year old. We'd pick her up from daycare, you know, get her fed, get her bathed, put her down. She would like at a very, very strict bedtime, because the minute we were done with that, like I was catching up on phone calls. We were studying. We were on YouTube. We were part of a mentorship group that had calls. Like, so that whole time after she went to bed was like, we have to learn as fast as possible to see if we can eliminate as many mistakes as possible so we can just get it done, honestly.
There's something so powerful about that mindset too, y'all. So if there's people on here who are newer and looking to be a real estate investor or agent, or guys, it doesn't matter. I was on, I literally had a meeting here in my office after my workout yesterday with a great friend of mine, has a 7-figure business, but he's at one of those phases, like we talked about, a care camp where things break, right? Mm-hmm. One's three, so he's a little bit over 1 million. If you're in that phase and you have to learn a bunch of new things to get to the next phase, what Adam and Amanda said is it. Because oftentimes we get way too distracted. When things get painful or hard, if we don't have that clear vision for where we're going and why we're doing it, we're going to end up just flipping around on Instagram all day. right? We probably even know the things that we need to do, but we don't want to go through the pain or the discipline required in order to move toward that, towards that vision. So let's kind of talk about vision a little bit here, and then we'll talk about, I want to dive into the marriage part of it for sure, because I know a lot of people are going to get a lot of value on that. But as far as the vision part of it, what was that vision that drove you guys forward? Like, why the heck did you guys want to start this versus staying in, it sounds like, really, really good paying W-2 jobs?
They paid really well, and they were great companies. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, what we were seeing was our own bosses would brag about the things that just didn't make sense to us. Like the number of nights stayed in a Marriott was over 200. You know, so I mean, yeah. Like, you realize that means you're away from your family just in a Marriott, because that didn't count their Hilton points.
Gotcha.
Like, they were just in a Marriott. They were gone 200 nights a year. We watched people become completely different people at work events. Folks that would say things like, "Oh, I never drink at home," but then you'd see them drinking like a fish at a work event. Like, it was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So it just was this unusual culture. And sometimes the finance world can kind of head in that direction. We just, number one, saw ourselves naturally, personality wise, gravitating away from that. Yeah. But then also we're looking up the corporate ladder going like, okay, I don't want to be that. I just had a kid, so it does not entice me at all to be spending 200 nights a year in a Marriott. I don't care what seat it is. I don't care what the view is outside of that hotel window. Like, I've got more important things sitting less than 3 feet from me.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And at the time we were traveling, I mean, you had the entire state of Virginia, so he was on the road. I had the Mid-Atlantic, so that's Maryland through South Carolina. So I was overnight 1 to 2 nights a week, 3 weeks out of a month, which adds up quick. And so it literally, I mean, I came back from maternity leave and my 4 or 5 month old daughter was in the car with me going to go to work. My mom would have to come with us once in a while to watch her while I was doing stuff during the day. This is not sustainable. And this is not a life any one of us is excited about or is one we designed. It was what ended up evolving over just, this is just now where we're at, which is not great.
Yeah, so originally a vision of what we didn't want, but then, you know, as we were introduced to bigger events and mentorship, Carrot Camp, things like that, that's when we started to form the vision of what we did want. So it's one thing to know what you don't want, but it's another thing to be able to say, okay, now I know what direction I want to head in.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm. So I'm curious, I want to know what's working for you guys communication-wise as a couple in your business. Like, what are you doing that other people could learn from, whether it's just them and a partner or them and a team? But first, I need to know, and I have a hunch, it sounds like you guys are wired pretty similarly, given your leaving your job story. Or is this more of a yin to the yang thing?
No, there's some definite personality differences in there for sure.
Uh-oh, there's something there.
No, it's like, I'm trying to find the right way to say this. Is that
you better, man? Yeah.
The pressure's on.
Oh no,
let's go take five, guys. So when we're the best way we can set ourselves up is to make sure that we have very specific job roles. That way it isn't everyone trying to do the same thing and getting and thinking that my way is the right way. Is that a perfect setup all the time? No. Is it mostly my fault? Yes. But I would say like that's probably the biggest thing there is like set yourself up for success from the beginning by being very clear about who does what. And then compartmentalizing those things. At least I found that's been the thing where when we have issues, we have to go back and say, were we stepping outside of our normal line of business?
Yes. And I would say yes. And a lot of the initial conflict when we start, because look, you know, spoiler alert, there's conflict. especially initially, it very much so had to do with, okay, we quit our jobs. We have to make money like right now.
Yep.
So we're spending all this money like on mail and whatever else we're just deciding to spend money on. It has to work. So that puts a lot of pressure on like, was that phone call the best phone call you could make? Did we talk about that house we're trying to dispo the best way we could talk about it? And so that's also part of the reason why we were studying so much over that summer. Not that we don't now, but because we were like, if we rip off this Band-Aid, there's no going back. And we have to, like, every flubbed phone call, like, I can put a dollar symbol attached to it. So yeah. I think a lot of the initial stress and breakdown in communication was, you know, him maybe coming to me saying, like, that phone call did not sound good. Or me saying to him, that phone call sounded terrible, you know, and just getting all up in each other's business and not giving ourselves space to have our own voice develop effectively in that role, and then just putting up a wall saying, okay, like, this is my job, this is your job, stay apart.
Yeah.
Mm. So is whose acquisition, whose disposition, and who's the one doing more of the coaching on those flubbed up phone calls?
So who do you think is acquisition and disposition, Brady?
Well, it's not fair. I say, because at Carrot Cam, it's not fair for me. Adam, you're doing disposition, right?
That's correct.
For the most part. Mm-hmm. Well, I knew why. I mean, I know that you're doing disposition, and Amanda, you're more acquisition. Why? Like, because it seems like you both are really capable, and you both could go do it. But I got the sense of, like, Adam just really doesn't like having those conversations with sellers. Is that accurate?
We have found, and this was even in our prior roles, because we were in a more of a sales style environment before this. We have found that I can get away with a lot more. I can ask very personal questions, and because I'm a girl and because I'm saying it with a jovial tone and a smile on my face, I can get all the information out of somebody. Where if he asked those same questions, they'd be like, who are you? Like, you can't ask me that. Like,
Amanda will be like, and what's the mortgage balance on that? And they'll be like, $94,732.18. I asked the exact same question, exact same tone, everything. You could listen to the recording. They'll be like, why the hell do you want to know that?
And ultimately, that means that we can get to, as quickly as possible, get to the pain point of why we're even on the phone, have an actual discussion about the needs that seller has and what we can do to help. Because if I can peel back those onion layers as fast as possible, I can get to the crux of a situation, build some real rapport. Because we're in a very competitive market. They get a lot of people calling them. They have a lot of mail, a lot of phone calls. So, like, how do we get that connection deep enough that they don't want to talk to anybody else? Well, that is there's some finesse and there's some digging that has to happen to really forge that connection.
But ironically, at the same time, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good, man.
I'll say, but ironically, to answer Brady's question, when it comes to actually the sales coaching and that sort of thing, that actually tends to be more me. So that when I get down to the discipline of it all, and when we're playing back a phone call, like, I will really get into the details on, like, you know, did, you know, this is how we said we were going to do the phone call. Did we actually achieve that? So actually the coaching and the studying, I would actually say, for the acquisitions is actually ironically back over in my purview.
Yeah.
Dude, so it's such a good point here. There's a nuance of what we're talking about here, especially in an environment right now where there's a lot of competition, of maximizing every part of the marketing dollar that's coming in, including, like you guys are saying there, hey, how are we handling each call? How are we handling this? Because a lot of people get the marketing in and they think mission accomplished, and then they blame the close ratio on the marketing channel versus on what you did after the lead came in. And so what you guys are doing, you know, it's a game tape review, whatever the heck you want to call it, right? But you're going through and going, how do we make this better? So for that, there, do you guys follow a process? Like, is there an ideal phone call script that you guys have, or like a flow that you guys have that you're pulling up and going, hey, this is the process. Did you go off a process, or how can we make it better? Or is it more just gut reaction on, hey, I heard this on a coaching call to say it this way and we didn't say it that way, or let's try this. Is it a process or gut reaction?
I would say that it's more like, so Steve Trang has a lot of influence in the way that we run a phone call. Cool. And it doesn't necessarily mean like that's the only way, right? It's just, it's a matter of find your discipline and actually stick to it. I think that's it. Just the method, there's plenty of people out there that have a specific method or scripting or ways of doing things. If you're going to follow something, make sure you follow it. Obviously, there will be a little bit of your personality that comes out in that, and that's okay. But like at the end of the day, we just naturally found ourselves gravitating towards Steve's level of discipline and just the way that he coaches.
Yeah.
And guys, we'll link it up in the show notes here too. Brady, what's the URL for the negotiation playbook? Because Steve trains in that puppy.
Yeah, carrot.com/close. We've got a whole negotiation playbook. We've done a few episodes on negotiation, but we had at that time Steve Trang, John Martinez, Bo Hollis, Keith Sant, like some of the best closers
for the whole podcast series. All great methods. Yeah.
I think the big key that that we kind of have really, as we've gotten deeper in our understanding of why we do what we do, it's not about the script. It's about the philosophy behind the script. I don't need to sound like a script robot and say it exactly how Steve says it, because Steve Trang and myself are very different personalities. I think we can all agree. But it's the philosophy behind why he's asking those questions and the order in which he's asking those questions and the responses he's providing. So it's like, once you understand why we're doing what we're doing, then you can add your flavor and your personality and your spin on it. But you have to understand the why before you can execute on the what.
Okay. So this is something that's really interesting. Is like, Amanda, you seem like you're naturally really good at building rapport and you're good at quote unquote closing. You seem like a really good closer. This happens often where people will be like, they'll spend years trying to be like, oh, I need to get better at negotiation. I need to get better at closing. Keith Sant, as an example, Keith Sant, you know, took some time to invest in, getting more skills and training regarding closing, and but ultimately decided like it's just not my jam. I don't want to do it as often. So he kind of went down the path of real estate marketer, and he generates leads. My question is, does this? It seems natural to me. Is it natural for you to like be building this rapport? You know, going on appointments with sellers. Do you feel like you're in the right spot?
Oh yeah, but you also like. That's not entirely fair. I also have 10 years. Both of us have 10 years of outside sales experience. That's not a fair, I don't think, because if people are like, oh man, this does not feel natural. Well, hey, here's what's great. We have 10 years of experience and it did not feel natural to us either. Because we came from a very different style of sale and we had to learn to adapt it to what we're now currently doing. So none of this is natural. It's just... Once again, go back to your philosophy. The philosophy is I'm here to help a seller and figure out what is the best situation for them to be in. What is the win-win? And if we are going at it with that spirit and philosophy, then you ask the right questions so that way you can get to that end goal. And then you create, you manifest that win-win scenario. Yeah.
That's encouraging. So you guys have been through the mentorships and the coaching programs, et cetera. And so what would you say to somebody who's in those programs, who's kind of in the early days, maybe they're in their first 6 months, a year of like, this deal feels awkward. I'm going on appointments. My confidence is not there. How long does it take before they buy another program or they say, okay, I'm just a marketer. I am not a closer.
I think that's a matter of repetition, right? Because I think oftentimes what will happen and we're starting to have conversations with newer investors now too that are coming around asking for help. What I'm finding is, okay, so, you know, is this your only appointment this month? Well, no wonder you're nervous. And that's okay, right? Because sometimes it will start out at one appointment a month, but then it's one appointment a week, and maybe it's a couple of appointments a week, and maybe it's an appointment every day. Like at a certain point, that's the repetition is what will make it feel comfortable. And then also too, statistics have to work out in your favor. If you talk to one person and that person's a jerk, you're going to get off the phone thinking you did something wrong. But in reality, there's nothing you could have done to change their situation. If someone doesn't want to sell their home, there's nothing you can do to talk them into it. And you know, the flip side, if someone desperately wants to sell their phone, you can say nothing wrong.
Yeah.
So like it's you know, it's,
One thing you guys said, I want to kind of elevate here a little bit more, because I'm sitting here writing notes on some things, because where I am right now as a leader is I have to be documenting a lot of philosophy, a lot of principles, right? Because you can't create a process for everything, because if you do, things get really, really hard. And at some point you have to pull up and go, well, like you said, what are the principles or what's the philosophy of why we do this thing? I'm thinking of project process here at Carrot right now as an example, and things got really hard and they still are. And as we look at it, it's because the process may not be exactly, I think it's amazing now, but it may not be exactly what would solve every little part of it. And people are getting mired in the process and the tactics versus coming up and going, well, what is this meant to do? Like, what's the philosophy of what a good project should look like? Because if I get stuck here, I don't have to go to a process to fix it. I know what the next thing in that philosophy is, and I can just wade my way through it and help to fix the process versus making it stop. And so that's something, guys, is really important. If you're an agent or an investor and you are locking into training, which you should be, you get a mentor. Adam Johnson, Brent Moreno were the mentors of Adam and Amanda. Amazing people. And they teach things differently than this person and that person, right? But don't get so mired in the tactics of what to say, how to say it, the nuance, the tonality, everything, to where you forget the philosophy, like Amanda said, on why is it that I'm doing this in the first place? Because you might come up with a question that is not in anyone's script, that is a question that's actually going to get to the actual answer of helping that client figure out what their challenge is. So I love that, guys. Have tactics and a process to follow, but really focus in on the philosophy of it. The newer investors who get stuck, what I have found is usually that they're focused on the deal. Like, I just need to get this check cashed. I need to get this deal, this cash coming in. Or they're focused on their fear versus the seller's problem. And so what Amanda said, guys, could be a big unlock. Your philosophy is exactly what she mentioned, ideally, as an investor. Now, an agent, it's probably similar but a little bit different. And here's why I'm doing this business. And let me just get to know you, even if I didn't have it on script, so I can solve that problem for you. That was way, way bigger than I think a lot of people were probably thinking it was, Amanda. So that was awesome. Thank you.
No problem. I love that philosophy before process. Mm-hmm. We need a t-shirt or something.
Yep.
Let's talk about, I want to hear some of the tactical things you guys are doing. And then towards the end, we can wrap this up in a little bit. Talk about what's working for you as a couple, communication, team building, what's in store for the future. But is there anything you guys are doing as a team tactically that you feel like is giving you an advantage in your market?
I think just simply being a husband and wife team, it's something that people want to root for. And so that's why I would suggest anybody that has the ability to do it to take advantage of it. When we're in an appointment, it's this nice family versus a major company. So at the end of the day, everyone loves to support local business. Everyone wants to support a mom and pop operation. And here's mom and here's pop. So it makes life easier.
And here's our really cute kid that really likes to eat avocados. You want to feed her, right?
You're going to see a picture of the dog. You're going to see a picture of our baby girl.
Yeah.
Like, you are going to be a part of our family by the time this appointment is over. And I can't tell you how many people have said, we decided to go with you guys because we wanted to support a local family versus somebody that's buying in 20 states.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. I'm going to make a safe assumption and assume that 90% of our audience watches The Office. So it's okay to reference the episode where Jim and Pam Pam and Andy are like the worst salespeople in the office. So they get sent out on cold calls and they're in the office with this client, and Pam's probably like 7 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you know, we just love working with a family business. We love working with couples. And then they're kind of like, because they're not together, right? And so they kind of look at each other and they see that moment. They're like, just roll with it.
Exactly.
We need a sale.
Exactly.
And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, reaches over, rubbing the belly. And it's like, that's the first sale they close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got the sale.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's validity to it. Yeah. I think it's awesome. You know, we're on Behind the Deal like a week or two ago, and we're talking about not only just like having the marriage or couple dynamic, but you know, we know people that will bring an agent along as well, or just like the male female dynamic. Mm-hmm. Even just one of those is like such a big differentiator. Mm-hmm. If you're an investor, bring an agent. Or if you don't have, you know, I was going to say communication skills, but it's not even comes down to skill, just like a female dynamic.
Yeah.
Like, bring somebody else with you.
Well, and because you'll start seeing because we do go on appointments together. So I handle the initial phone calls, the setting the appointments, kind of digging. I do all the research, and then we go together to go look at a house. We say the same things every time. Mm. Like, hey, babe, what do you think? you know, or, hey, you know, like we just, it's the same phrases, but they're now like our own cues to each other to pivot to the next phase of the appointment. Like, but it's just, this is now because we've done this over and over and over again. We now know what we're trying to say when we're not actually saying it.
And then I'll usually make some sort of closing phrase. We'll get an acknowledgement and an agreement to actually move forward with paperwork. I'll walk through paperwork with them and I'll have them sign right there.
That's awesome. Yeah. So what else is working for you guys? What's working from a marketing standpoint? And I don't even think we talked about it. Like what's your deal flow look like right now? What's working?
So right now we're typically doing between 2 to 4 deals a month. It is, as far as marketing goes, we're kind of dabbling in a little bit of everything. So we still do mail. We still have an employee doing a lot of outbound dialing for us. We do some digital marketing, some Facebook, some other digital sources as well. So we're really kind of all over the place.
Who's running, who's doing Facebook ads for you?
Internally.
Cool.
Oh, so you're giving that a shot, just experimenting, trying to learn?
Yeah.
So, how's that working out?
I mean, too early I'm the wrong person to ask. So when we talked about that personality thing, it's never good enough for me. So.
Okay, nice. So one other thing I'm curious about is what's the future look like for you guys? Like it's the two of you right now. You come from leading sales teams, like we were talking about earlier. Are you thinking about expanding the team, adding more people, or is there some nervousness there?
Yeah, all of that. Yeah.
So that's one of the really great takeaways from Carrot Camp is it really helped us identify where our next hires should be. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to take that and we're actually in the process of implementing it right now because we're only 10 days out from Carrot Camp. So this is going to fall into the category of give it a second. We are definitely in the process of doing that right now. And I could easily see as we expand double, triple current revenue over the next 12 to 18 months, there's going to need to be 2 or 3 more hires. So right now it's us plus 2 others, one of them being my mother that manages our properties. And then of course we've got one employee that does a lot of our admin tasks and outbound calling as well.
Cool.
So what do those next hires look like? If you know, if not, that's fine.
So basically at this point, so you've got, and we're talking about this at Care Camp. So we've got right now kind of 2 main arms of our business. We've got the rental portfolio side and you've got the wholesaling flipping side of the business. So the rental portfolio side is pretty much set because it was a huge blessing actually. So his mom owns some rental properties herself. We ended up taking her on as a full-time employee as our property manager. So as we pick stuff, she's going to start managing, or she currently is managing everything we own and will continue to do so. That will probably stay like that. She might need one more person, but I doubt that'll be anytime soon. So pretty much at this point, we're investing in the wholesaling flipping side. Our part-time employee originally was cold calling. We're actually going to reappropriate him to be more of an admin based on our feedback at Care Camp and kind of outsource that to another, to just somewhere else. So it's going to be probably more VA Filipino cold caller type stuff. And then just kind of hang on. The biggest thing for us is that acquisition or us being in a living room together is where all the money is made. And that's where the magic happens. It's simultaneously our greatest strength and our greatest weakness. So we have to hold on to that at least for the foreseeable future until we can figure out how to untangle ourselves from that component of the business and, you know, give it to somebody else. So. Mm.
I love that. And Trevor, you've talked a lot about that on podcasts, is just doing an energy audit, recognizing where your energy is, where your strengths are, which aren't always the same thing. Like, what are you good at and what gives you energy? But you guys recognize the where the money is made and where the magic happens and then hire out everything else.
Yeah, as best we can.
It's hard sometimes, right? Like, I was talking about it at Carrot Camp, even the phase that I'm in. And the reason I'm thinking about principles and strategy and tactics right now is because as you look at certain ways that I'm a block or a bottleneck in certain parts of the company, usually I don't get a lot of energy being a block or a bottleneck for people, right? And so it's usually like a stressor. And the thing I want to cast vision for everyone listening to the Carrot Cast or watching this on YouTube is as long as you want to grow your company, that never stops. Like you're always just finding the next thing. You're trading out an energy drainer for an energy giver. And ideally, the things that give you energy also can enable more growth for the company if that's what you want, or more profits and things like that. And guys, it's a never-ending journey. And so if you're in the entrepreneurship game and you want to grow, the only way to get off of the, you know, the entrepreneur freedom formula that we taught in detail at Care Camp is like, the only way to get off of it is to either hire a CEO to actually run the whole business for you, and then you're going to step away from it and go over here or whatever, or to sell the business and go get a job or retire or whatever, right? And so as long as you're wanting to grow the company, there's always the refreshing of the vision every 3, 4, 5 years. And there's always the pruning of the energy draining tasks every year and every quarter. And there's always the up-leveling of what skill do I need to learn in order to grow through this next phase so I can find the right people that I can plug in so I can grow with them and grow through this phase. And I'm just really proud of how you guys are, because you guys went past the 100,000 mark, you passed the 300,000 mark, you're between the 300,000 and a million. And in that phase, it's delegating tasks really, really well and finding a person or two to delegate projects to that you trust, where you can send them a chunk of things and say, here's the outcome. Here's a couple of processes I made. You might need to make a couple years on your own, but let's have a weekly meeting on these three projects and you go execute and come back to us when you have challenges. It's that phase there, which I'm really excited that you guys are in. It's cool.
We'll start to wrap it up here. Man, this has been awesome so far. I'm really been enjoying this one. If anyone else is listening to this, like if there's any other couples or even business partners with a similar dynamic, I'd love for you to reach out, brady@carrot.com, mm-hmm. and let me know. Or if maybe you're listening, you end up pulling your spouse into the business and it works out. If it burns in flames, don't let us know. We don't want to just get started. But if it works out, let us know, because I'm sure that Adam, Amanda, you guys are inspiring people all over the place right now that are thinking about doing what you're doing. So that being said, so when we're at Carrot Camp, when we were at Carrot Camp together, and like almost every other Carrot Camp we've done, there's always this one point during the mastermind where somebody gets up and they don't even know what question to ask, and they kind of fumble their way through it, and they're like, well, here's my thing. And it's like they almost are afraid to say it's a problem, but they're like, my wife isn't really interested in real estate, whether she's like working a full-time job or she's not working on, my wife isn't really interested in real estate. And they're kind of asking like, how do I get her interested in real estate? Or I want to pull her into the business, but she doesn't really want to. How do you respond to that?
I always suggest, and I typically will find myself on a regular basis challenging people. I find myself having to typically challenge other men in this capacity. It is all, my first question is, so where is she? It doesn't matter if it's Carrot Camp. It doesn't matter if it's a, you know, local investor meeting Rhea on a Thursday night. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, a learning opportunity or a networking event. So I'll always ask that question. Where are they? Because a lot of times what's happening is, and I don't think Mana had to be sold on this, but the beauty of an event like Carrot Camp is the Carrot team. The Carrot team will work on that individual so that you don't have to. Not that you guys are doing something magical in the background to focus and fix this person. It's just you can be inspired by an event. It's really hard to go solo to an event, come back all manic because you've transcended to another level, and then just vomit all of that onto your spouse and be like, and now aren't you excited too? Like, no, they're not. They're actually afraid of you. You sound crazy. And congratulations, you're all excited. But a person's natural response to that is, let's pump the brakes and let's really think about what we really want to do, because you're all excited and you've learned something. They haven't learned that. Their eyes haven't been open. It's no different than if we send you to Europe backpacking for a year, you're going to learn things and get excited about things, and you're going to come back to little old Mechanicsville, Virginia, and you're going to be a changed person, and Mechanicsville just isn't going to have the same vibe to it. Meanwhile, we're just sitting here like, yeah, it's Mechanicsville.
Yep.
It's the exact same. It's the exact same thing. And so I don't think you can necessarily talk your spouse into it, but you can put them in a position to be inspired.
Yes. And I think that, you know, from a female, because we do, I mean, predominantly it's a male dominated industry. And then even when I see females in the industry, it's very rare to see them in an acquisition style. They're usually the bookkeeper, the marketer, you know, not that those things aren't important, but they're in a behind the scenes role. And what I say to that is like, why? Because it is proven, like they do studies, that women are better at building rapport, developing connections, developing relationships with people. So like, why would you not utilize that strength? Well, it comes back to, have you cast the vision of what that would do for her and for the family? Because for me, it's very easy to get excited about what we're doing because one, I got to quit my job. So sweet. But even if I didn't, it's, hey, you know, here's what this is going to provide for us. We get to provide a legacy for our parents. We recognize that we're probably financially going to be responsible at some point for them. Like this is going to provide financial stability for our children so they don't have to deal with some of the struggles we dealt with. Like this is going to provide a style of life that is by design. If I get off the phone with you, or if I get off this cast with you guys right now, I can go pick up my daughter and we can go blueberry picking. Like if I want to, or I can work my tail off for the next, you know, couple hours before I have to go pick her up and get us one more step closer to buying the next rental property or wholesaling the next deal. But it's my choice. So when you cast that type of vision for a family, it's not about real estate. It's about the benefits real estate get to provide. And that's something any woman or anyone can get excited about.
I can relate so well, Amanda, because my wife, she's in the medical field for like a decade before she kind of every child we had. So we had our first kid in 2010. She went from 5 days a week to like 4 or 3 days a week. And then we had our second, and then she went from 3 days a week to 2 days a week or whatever. And then we had a third, and then she went to like 2 half days a week, and then she retired. And then she was doing that for a year and a half, realized she needed to use her other side of her brain, went back to work for 2 years. Then she left work again a year ago. And the challenges that you can face as entrepreneurs, if one of your spouses does have a normal job, is we have this vision, like it's in my Entrepreneur Freedom Forum, right? It's like we have a vision to build a business of freedom and impact. And sometimes that vision is, I want to go travel like whenever we want to, and let's go do these things. And, or we're on a 2 week vacation, but then what happened one time, this is probably 3 years ago when she went back that second time, is we had to cut a vacation short because her schedule in the medical field booked out 6 months in advance and she couldn't change that schedule that day. And I remember that moment, her and I had that, we had a talk and I'm like, oh babe, I said we, but it was more me at the start. You know, we had this vision for this freedom, being able to go do whatever. And how do we actually realize that as a family now? You know, because in my mind, I'm going, oh my gosh, we're making enough money. You don't need to work. And your job is making it so we can't have true freedom and do whatever we want to do. That's what I was thinking selfishly, right? But then when we were talking, she's like, I just want to be able to do something, contribute, not just be a stay-at-home mom. And so she actually is working with me now in our downtown projects, learning a lot. And there's a lot of the frustrations that pop up just because it's brand new to her. You know, she's never been in the real estate side. And you guys are definitely an inspiration for sure. So that's one bit of it there, guys. If you do have a spouse and you are wanting, whether you're a guy or a gal on this, you are wanting that freedom, whatever that definition of freedom is for you, but your spouse wants a job that doesn't provide that same freedom, you might realize that there's a conversation that needs to be had in order to get alignment there. Because once you get to the spot where you can, quote unquote, have freedom because of your income and your job, if that spouse's job doesn't allow it, that might create some angst and some issues. And so have those conversations now. Cast that vision like Amanda and Adam were saying. Get them excited about the possibilities of what this could have. And you don't have to have the answers of what that spouse would do in your work. Just find out what gives them energy and start to find ways to make it happen. Or maybe they don't work with you, right? Maybe they don't. Maybe the whole thing is they go do charity work or whatever the heck they want to do, but it's in a more, you know, freedom-given structure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think also, I just to add one more thing, is I also see, just coming from the female perspective, allow room for them to be a part of it. So, you know, you have a lot of very dynamic people in this industry, and they're larger than life personalities. So it's, okay, so where do I fit in all of this? Give them a space where they could contribute effectively, you know, with as they learn and grow. But like, they need to feel like there's even a point for them to be around. And I think that that's where, you know, if you've got it all handled and like you're just, you know, knocking it out of the park by yourself, well, then why do you even need me? You know, yep. where could I even fit in and contribute? So yep. Giving space for that is also really important.
I think another really great way to just introduce your spouse to your vision is just to sit there and say, hey, listen, I'm going to this event, you know, whether it's a Max Maxwell type event in Dallas or any other type of event, right? I'm going to this event. There's going to be a lot of stuff thrown at me. I tend to get really excited about this, right? Just know your own self. I get really excited about this. I get shiny object syndrome. Is there any chance you could come and just be another set of eyes, another set of ears, and just kind of help me work through what makes sense for us, what doesn't make sense for us, and maybe how we can fit that into our lives? Because it will amaze you what someone will get excited about. And we're just sitting next to each other in an event one time, and then she walked away from it going, we're doing Airbnb. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I'm not opposed to that, but like,
let's go.
But because she was there and she heard from somebody that was an Airbnb specialist, and she, you know, we learned about, and now it's wildly successful for us, and now it's another part of our business. So I just, it doesn't necessarily have to be as black and white as, hey, listen, I need you in my real estate business. We're 50-50 partners. It doesn't have to be that aggressive. It can start off with something really simple. Let's just dip a toe in this thing. Can you just be another set of eyes? Can you be another set of ears for me? Because you know me, I get excited about everything. No. Okay. Yeah, I can come to that. And that's all the buy-in you need. And then let the people from stage take care of it from there.
Dude, this is good right here, guys. This is really good right here. So everybody listening out there, whether you're a guy or a gal, investor or an agent, if you have a spouse, take that advice right there, because if they're not bought into this journey that you're going on as an entrepreneur, I can tell you when you reach that income level and hit those goals, everything will not be solved, because they might just want you home and you want the money, right? And I've seen that a lot of times where people have this goal to hit this number. And in actuality, you go back to the spouse and the spouse is like, I really didn't care about that. That was something you were excited about. That's cool. I'm thankful for the benefits of it. I just want your time back. And so get clear on that and involve them in it early. That'd be way cool. I love the way you approached it.
Well, and in many cases, you won't even get to that revenue level, because that revenue level includes, I mean, we don't talk about work-life balance. Like, we're sitting on the couch, like, going through modules and doing YouTube. Yeah. Like, if I was not supportive, I'd be like, okay, I'm over this. Like, where's the Netflix? So like you tend to be like this anchor that's like kind of always pulling back if you're not aligned, at least understanding why. So if he has to go somewhere, like, it's go and do, because I know where that's going to take us. There's no hostility towards, you know, leaving me alone for bath time. Go, you know.
I love that. The takeaway from like all of the magic that you just said, that both of you just said, is, and I see this in with myself and my wife, like the value in having someone is, Amanda to you is basically, you said you have shiny object syndrome. There's a song I can relate. There's a song called Banks by a band called Need to Breathe. And the famous line of the song is, I'll be the banks to your river. And I think about that like guardrails, and it's like this harmonious thing where you need both, but one is keeping the other one focused and going towards, you know, going down a path. And I think that is just awesome.
Dude, the follow-up line in that song, which I love, that song's great. You guys should listen to it. The follow-up line is something like,
so good.
It's like, I will hold you close without holding you back. You know, and when you really think about the banks, it's like, that's what it is. It's holding you close, but it's not holding you back. And that's such a good analogy, Brady. I'm glad you brought that in. It's, I'll be the banks to your river, you know, hold you close without holding you back.
Yeah.
Love
and
it.
And that's like, every entrepreneur struggles with that, and especially real estate investors. They're motivated, they're self-starters, they're driven, and you end up going all over the place and getting burnt out. So having someone to keep you on track and to keep you motivated when you hit a low is like that. You can't put a, you, it's invaluable.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it's just another. In I think the beauty of doing anything with a partner is just anytime that I'm feeling flustered or anytime that she's feeling flustered, is the other person to say, okay, let's go back to our true north. Is what we're doing right now going to get us closer or further away from our goal? And oftentimes it's the outside perspective. And it just so happens that the outside perspective is still within our own home. And that's what makes it a beautiful thing. And that's what makes it work. I don't have to question her. I don't have to question her motives when it comes to helping me make a decision.
I love that. Man, well, guys, this has been a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this episode. I think people will get a lot of value out of it once it goes out. I know we're pretty much at time. We got another podcast with actually another Carrot Camper right after you guys. Is there anything real quick in closing that you want people to know, anything you want them to walk away with or think that they should know that we haven't covered?
I mean, I just want people to follow us on TikTok. That's all I'm here for.
What's the handle?
So we're at New Investors.
I love that. That is hilarious. You know,
I've been picked on for my last name my entire life. I might as well monetize that at some point.
New investors making 500K in their first year as a couple. That's great. That's great. Well, thank you guys so much. It's been a blast. Yeah, go follow these guys on TikTok, Adam and Amanda New, at New Investors. If you're not subscribed to the podcast, go ahead, subscribe or follow it. I believe it is on Apple Podcasts now. Check us out on YouTube. And if you like this, share it with a friend or share it with your spouse. And maybe see how you might be able to inspire them and not drag them into the business like we learned today. Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. You guys rocked it. Good work.
See ya.